Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 12. Shivaya Lokasya Bhavaya Bhutaye.
Shivaya Lokasya Bhavaya Bhutaye.
Uttama Shloka Parayana Janaha. Jivanti Natmartham Maso Parashwayam.
Jivanti Natmartham Maso Parashwayam.
Umocha Nirvidya Kuta Kalevaram.
Umocha Nirvidya Kuta Kalevaram.
Those who are devoted to the cause of the Personality of Godhead live only for the welfare, development, and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interest. So, even though the emperor, Parikshit, was free from all attachment to worldly possessions, how could he give up his mortal body, which was shelter for others? Parikshit Maharaj was an ideal king and householder, because he was a devotee of the Personality of Godhead. A devotee of the Lord automatically has all good qualifications. And the emperor was a typical example of this. Personally, he had no attachment for all the worldly opulences in his possession. But since he was a king for the all-around welfare of his citizens, he was always busy in the welfare work of the public, not only for this life, but also for the next. He would not allow slaughterhouses or killing of cows. He was not a foolish and partial administrator who would arrange for the protection of one living being and allow another to be killed. Because he was a devotee of the Lord, he knew perfectly well how to conduct his administration for everyone's happiness, men, animals, plants, and all living creatures. He was not selfishly interested. Selfishness is either self-centered or self-extended. He was neither. His interest was to please the Supreme Truth, Personality of Godhead. The king is the representative of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the king's interest must be identical with that of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord wants all living beings to be obedient to him and thereby become happy. Therefore the king's interest is to guide all subjects back to the kingdom of God. Hence, the activities of the citizen should be so coordinated that they can at the end go back home, back to Godhead. Under the administration of a representative king, the kingdom is full of opulence. At that time, human beings need not eat animals. There are ample food grains, milk, fruit and vegetables, so that the human beings as well as the animals can eat sumptuously unto their heart's content. If all living beings are satisfied with food and shelter, and obey the prescribed rules, there cannot be any disturbance between one living being and another. Emperor Parikshit was a worthy king, and therefore all were happy during his reign. Shivaya lokasya bhavaya bhutaye ya uttama shloka parayana janaha jivanti nath martam aso parashayam mumocha nirvidya kutak kalevaram. Those who are devoted to the cause of the Personality of Godhead live only for the welfare, development and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interest. So even though the emperor, Parikshit, was free from all attachment to worldly possessions, how could he give up his mortal body, which was shelter for others? Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of Bhagavan and the Bhagavats. Bhagavats means who is in relation to Bhagavan. Maharaj Parikshit is a Bhagavat. He's a great devotee. Those who desire to be Bhagavats, they are advised to follow in the footsteps of great devotees. Mahajano Yenagata Sapanta. So one should study Srimad Bhagavatam to understand how the devotees relate to Krishna and how they live in this world, uttama shloka parayanaha, how they are living in this world very much attached to Krishna. Here Prabhupada gives the translation, uttama shloka parayana, that those who are devoted to the cause of the personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord has a mission, He has a purpose for this material world, and the Bhagavats, the great devotees, they come into this world to further the mission of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj was such a devotee. So we should hear about Parikshit Maharaj and how he acted, and not only how he acted and what he did, but why he did what he did. This question, this verse is in the form of a question. Kuta, why? For what purpose? This question is asked by Shonak Rishi to Sudha Goswami. Why? Why did he do this? This is like the news analysis. On the front page you have the news, and further inside the newspaper you have the news analysis. Why did this politician do this or that? Or maybe he's taking a gamble. Or what will be the future consequences? There's the analysis, trying to understand why they are doing what they are doing. So here, Shonak Rishi, asking on behalf of the sages at Naimisharanya, is trying to understand why Parikshit Maharaj gave up his responsibility as king. He accepted the curse of the young Brahmana boy, Sringi. He didn't have to accept the curse that he would die within 7 days. He didn't have to, because being a great devotee, he was very powerful. He could have counteracted the curse, or he could have called sages. He could have consulted them. And we see that so many sages came when they heard that Parikshit Maharaj was fasting to death on the bank of the Ganga or Yamuna. And so many sages came. So he could have found a way to counteract this curse, or he could have personally counteracted it and sent the curse back on the young Brahmana boy. Or many times we see when someone is cursed that there's some, that the person who is cursed, they fall down and beg forgiveness at the feet of the person who cursed them, that please forgive me, and the curse must take effect, but they'll find some way to lessen or mitigate its effect, or even though the curse will take. There are so many examples that go down with Ahalya, that yes, you have to be a stone, but you will be delivered when Lord Ram comes. And the good side of it is that you'll get the darshan and blessings of Lord Ram, which is worth the wait around as a stone to do that. So it ultimately, there's so many examples. The Nalakubra, Manigriva, the same thing. They had to take a horrible condition of trees, but it was worth doing that to ultimately be delivered by Krishna. So the curse became a benediction. So it could have been counteracted or mitigated or something. Something could have been done. But Parikshit Maharaj, he simply, okay, alright. He cursed me to death, alright. And he gave up his kingdom. So Shonakadi Rishi, they were not very happy. Or they're not exactly not very happy, but they were surprised. Because a king, he shouldn't just give up his kingdom like that. If he's a good king and he's doing his job properly, he should do his job. Why? For the sake of parashraya. Here the word is given, parashraya. The king is the shelter for others. So if the king gives up his position, then they become anashrita. They become without any shelter. And then the world becomes open for rogues, thieves, dakus, and all these unwanted elements. Then without a proper king, strong, can control, for the proper cause, then chaos will ensue in society. So they were asking then, why did he shouldn't have been so detached. He had a service to do for Krishna. So why did he give it up? That was the question. Intelligent question. See, the Shona Rishi, he was listening, but it wasn't just as a matter of formality. Nowadays we see the Bhagavad Sapta. And people, they come and they listen, but it's not, they're not really trying to understand the subject matter. That's described in Bhagavad itself. When we hear Bhagavad, Tatshrinvan Supatam Vicharana Paro, one should, Tatshrinvan, one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. Satshrinvan Supatam, study very carefully, and Vicharana Paraha, one should apply his intelligence to try to understand the subject matter. So why? The question should come, why? We find Parikshit Maharaj himself, who was the subject of the questions, we'll find throughout the course of the Bhagavad, narration by Shukadeva Goswami, that he himself asks so many questions which elucidate the subject matter more and more. Why did Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj would ask, why did Krishna, who has come to teach religious principles, why has he danced with other people's wives, which is against religious principles? He asks the question. He asks the question that why is it that why is it that the Supreme Lord, who is supposed to be impartial, he is partial to the demigods? Why is it he's always coming and fighting on behalf of the demigods? He's supposed to be neutral. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesha stina priya. Krishna says in the Gita, I am equal to all. I'm not particularly friendly or unfriendly towards anyone. So this question, Parikshit Maharaj, he was listening very carefully. He liked to hear. Shonakadi Rishi, they also liked to hear. They took taste in it. Vayantuna vitripyala uttamashloka, the same word, uttamashloka vikrame. They said that we like to hear about the wonderful activities of Uttama Shloka. We are not satiated. Because yet chinvatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. By hearing this discussion of Krishna Katha, then by hearing repeatedly, then the rasa jnanam, one becomes knowledgeable about rasa, the rasa becomes extracted, and we can taste the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam at every step. So this attitude to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, try to understand, the sages are trying to understand, it doesn't seem right that after all the Pandavas, they had gone through so many difficulties and they'd taken back their rightful kingdom from Duryodhana, and then shortly after that they left this world, and in the absence of any of their sons being alive, then their grandson Parikshit Maharaj took up the responsibility of the state. So much endeavor was there to establish the devotees on the throne. And Parikshit Maharaj, he inherited the throne which the Pandavas had won back with great endeavor. But he's also just giving it up. Doesn't seem right. He has a duty. He has a responsibility. Why is he doing that? He's supposed to be living for the benefit of others. And actually, Parikshit Maharaj was living for the benefit of others. As Prabhupada points out a very important point. I could never imagine this before I heard it from Prabhupada, that it's a point which, unless we're instructed in it, it's not a point that we'll come to understand very easily ourselves. That selfishness is either self-centered or extended. That we see selfish people, but we also see people who they act for the benefit of others, and they're praised in this world as welfare workers, philanthropists, humanitarians, altruists, Lions Club members, etc. Mother Teresa praised as a great altruist. But Prabhupada is pointing out that unless we are acting, unless we are Uttama Shloka Parayana, unless we are dedicated to the cause of the personality of Godhead, then ultimately it's all selfishness. Maybe extended selfishness. We praise a great hero. They give someone climbs up a mountain in Kargil and gets his head shot off, and then he gets posthumous Veer Chakra, because what he gave his life for his country. But from the Pakistani point of view, he's simply an enemy, that's all. We killed him. And the other man gets a medal. So, one man's hero, from one side he's a hero, from the other side he's a scoundrel, a rogue. Because it's self-interest. They're thinking we should fight for Pakistan, the other side thinks we should fight for India. Or even if we think that we're doing it for the benefit of human beings, we're feeding them and clothing them. But just like you see that we're talking about this welfare workers, so many Christian welfare workers, and they're feeding people, but what with chickens? They're not very loving to the chickens. They don't care much for the chicken. They have love for all living beings, but not for the chickens. Or they love the chickens, fried, roasted, boiled, stewed. But they're not kind to the chickens. They have made a philosophy, they have no soul. Prabhupada pointed out, then what's the difference between an animal and a child? Then you should eat your child also. So they don't actually understand, without understanding what does it mean to give up selfishness, then we remain selfish. We can give up selfishness when we become Uttama Shloka Parayana, when we become attached to Krishna. Then we can actually think of the welfare of others. Otherwise there's no question of welfare of others. Even if you feed people with vegetarian food, you don't actually benefit them unless we give them knowledge of Krishna. Simply feeding their body so they can go on with sense gratification and take another body, it's not actually benefiting them at all. People praise them, or they like to, or they'll open. You see so many hospitals open with the name of the person who was in Bombay. They have the, what is it? Yaspai Hospital. Hinduja Hospital is very famous. So it's welfare work, but not without the name. The name, people should know that we have built this hospital. Yaslok Hospital. Yaslok. We have built this hospital. So people should know, yes, we are doing good to people. We are helping them. So this is extended selfishness. I will be known as a welfare worker, or I will do good for others. But unless we realize what it means to do good for others, then we're not actually doing good for them at all. It's rather simply increasing the illusion. If we think that we are doing good for others without giving Krishna bhakti, then it's simply increasing the, it's just another activity within the three modes of material nature, which leads to repeated birth and death. But Parikshit Maharaj was not such an ignorant fool. He was actually able to give benefit to others because he was a devotee of the law. He was protecting the citizens for the sake of guiding them on the path of Krishna Bhakti. Kshatriyas and Brahmanas in conjunction with each other, working together. The Kshatriyas would make a situation in which there was law and order, protection of the Brahmanas, protection of the cows. They would themselves would perform yajnas. And the Brahmanas, they were also protected, so they would dispense spiritual knowledge to human society. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was such a king. So the question comes up, then he was actually acting in a manner which was highly beneficial for human society. Then why should he give up that position? Of course, the answer is that by doing so, the Srimad Bhagavatam became spoken, which is... There's more than one reason. One reason is the Bhagavatam was spoken, which is the topmost contribution to human society. That Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. Already Srimad Bhagavatam was there, but it became Shukamakad Amrita Drava Samyutam. Bhagavatam is already perfect. Krishna is perfect. Bhagavatam is Krishna, literary form. But it became even more relishable when it was spoken by Shukadev Goswami. That is the nature of Bhagavan and Bhagavad Katha. Even though it's completely perfect, it becomes better. There's no end to bhakti. If we think that now I have reached the topmost position of bhakti, actually we say uttam bhakti, but actually there is no topmost position because it's not a position, it's rasa, it's liquid. It means it's always flowing. So it's always increasing. It's anandam buddhi vardhanam. It's an ever-increasing ocean of nectar. It's not that one reaches a point in bhakti where there's no further to go. There's always increasing nectar. But that also is not the cause of distress. It's just like if you're working for a software company, there's no end to the work, just to give an example. If you're working 20 hours a day and you do it for 5 years, if you don't collapse dead in between, there's no end. There'll always be more work. There'll always be new projects, new ideas. But it is, in the beginning you may be very enthusiastic, but ultimately it's just Parishram, Pavarga. This is called Pavarga. Pa, ba, ma. Pa means parishram, which is followed by pa, fena, foaming at the mouth. Then, ba, beta, it's all useless, disappointment. And ba, bhiti, it simply leads to fear and ultimately ma, mrityu. At the end, you can have your photo in the Deccan Herald. That's all. Died at the age of 35. Lived a glorious life. I guess. That's why I gave that example. I could have given the example of a bowling alley owner or something like that also. Do you have any bowling alley owners?
Yes.
I know. It's all the same. It's all, without Krishna Bhakti, it's Shrama eva hi kevalam. At the end you could say, I worked hard. I opened a shrama mandir. Have you seen, like, sometimes they call the factory? This is following Vivekananda's idea. Shram mandir. Don't go to the mandir, go to the factory. This is, work is worship. So, that is simply a cause of distress. There's no end. They'll whip you. Work, work, work. Giving the carrot. 20,000 rupees a month. And no time to do anything with it. You can, the 4 hours you have free, you can sleep in an air conditioned room. That's all you can afford, an air conditioned. And you can drive to work in a Cielo car. These are the facilities you get. So this bhakti, there's no end to it, but you don't want an end to it. That is the opposite. In material life, you want a holiday. Please, I have to have a holiday. At least give me 7 days a year. Give me a holiday. At least I can catch up on my sleep. But in bhakti, it's anandam buddhi vardhanam, ever increasing nectar. So, Shukadev Goswami, he spoke Bhagavad, which was already there, already perfect, but it became Shukamakad Amrita Jada Samyutam. It became even more relishable, having emanated from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. Because it appears that even though Vyasadeva is the incarnation of God, that Shukadev, his realization or his appreciation is even more intimate. Aham vedmi shukho veti vyasa vedi na veti va. Lord Shiva says, I don't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami, he understands, he knows. Vyasadev, maybe. Vyasa veti na veti va. So Shukadev Goswami, he had the very intimate understanding of Bhagavatam, and Parikshit Maharaj also. He was a suitable candidate to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadev Goswami. Even so many rishis came from all over the universe to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But not all of them were on the platform of Parikshit. Parikshit, he was the one specifically who Shukadev was speaking to. There were so many rishis are listed. Eka, Dita, Trita, Kashyap, and Vishvamitra, Vishishta, so many great, Gautam, Parashuram, so many, they all came to be present at the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Shukadev specifically spoke to Parikshit among all of them. And even, not all of them were even on the platform of bhakti. Many of them, they were Brahmavadis. But so specifically, Parikshit Maharaj, he was the one who listened. He was the one who brought out such nice questions to elucidate the matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, Vyasadeva, after himself listening to Shukadev Goswami, who was his son and disciple, after himself listening, he taught Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadev, but then Shukadev, he accepted that subject matter within his heart, and the realizations that were generated, Shukadev Goswami, you'll find so many realizations Shukadev Goswami is expressing, Ho Bhagyam, Ho Bhagyam, Nanda Gopa Bajokasam, Yam Mitra Paramanandam, Puna Purna Brahma Sanatanam. He's giving, Shukadev Goswami is expressing his realizations. For instance, he says, how fortunate, the whole Bhagyam, the whole Bhagyam, how, what is the fortune of Nanda Maharaj and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan that the eternal absolute truth, the full manifestation of the absolute truth has become their intimate associate, friend, son, lover, etc. So these are, you'll find throughout Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is making comments. He's expressing his realizations of what is, this is the leela of the Lord, and what is the significance. So Shukadeva Goswami, he has made the subject matter of Srimad, he's increased it, he's fluffed it, just like you find one lotus flower, it's closed up, and then to offer to the Lord, we open it up, and it becomes very beautiful. So in the same way, that subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first of all, that was spoken to Lord Brahma in 4 verses, and then that was expanded upon different times and places, and ultimately Vyasadeva, he spoke that to Shukadeva, and Shukadeva, he expanded it further by his own realization, and then Vyasadeva wrote it down, and we have the Bhagavatam as it is today. But still, that subject matter of Bhagavatam is being elaborated upon. It's not ended that Shukadeva Goswami has spoken. So many acharyas have given their commentaries. Prabhupada, when he was giving his commentary on Bhagavatam, he would consult 13 commentaries, 12 in Sanskrit and the Bengali commentary by his own Guru Maharaj. 12 principal commentaries. But actually there are more than 60 known commentaries on Bhagavatam. So all the different acharyas. Because the acharya means who's uttama shloka parayana. His consciousness is absorbed in Uttama Shloka, Lord Sri Krishna, who is praised by the topmost verses. There are so many verses. Just as we are leaving Ceylon this morning, one young smarta brahmana, who is now chanting Hare Krishna, he came to see us. He told us they'll be doing up till 4 o'clock in the afternoon some yajna and Ved parayana. So the Vedas, they're also meant for glorifying Krishna. All the Vedic literature, Vede, Ramayana, Chaiva, Purana, Bharata, Tata, Adavante, Tamante, Cha, Hari Sarvatra, all the Ved, Puranas, Mahabharata, all the Ramayana, they're all meant for glorifying Hari. It's all meant for them. But the Vedas, that may be not very directly glorifying the Supreme Lord, whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the topmost Vedic literature, because it, within this Bhagavatam, there is no scent of anything but glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, from the very beginning, it's declared, Kaitava Dharma Projata, herein, all kind of cheating religion, or that which is not directly declared Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, that is rejected from Srimad Bhagavatam, directly simply glorifying Krishna and glorifying Bhagavad Bhakti. It's for glorification of Bhagavan, Bhagavata and Bhakti. This is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukadeva Goswami, he explained that with his realization, and then so many acharyas have also given their realizations, which arises, that naturally arises within the heart of a devotee who is Uttama Shloka Parayana. He's always thinking of Krishna, thinking of the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna is performing his leela, what are the different things he's doing, the Naam Roop Gun Leela, his different names connected with his different pastimes, his different forms that he takes in different incarnations, how he dresses, therefore he has so many different names, Pitambar or Nilambar, Lord Balaram, known as Nilambar, Krishna Pitambar, how he dresses, and then his different qualities, his pastimes, his associates, the knowledge devotees are taking from Srimad Bhagavatam, and they meditate on that, and then Krishna from within the heart, Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam dinamam upayantite. Krishna enlightens from within the heart those who are thinking of Krishna. Krishna gives realization so the devotees, they can Krishna gives them realization of so many different points, and we'll find that the Bhagavatam is like a great ocean. Anyway, it's quite a big book. We see now it's published in 18 volumes. Together with Prabhupada's purports, it's quite a big book. But if we think that now I've read it, now I finished it, not even one syllable. Krishna Tula Bhagavat Vibhusava Shura Prati Shloke Prati Akare Nana Artakar. In Chaitanya Charitamrita described that Srimad Bhagavatam being non-different from Krishna is it's full of all potencies and gives spiritual shelter to all, and in every verse and in every syllable there are so many different meanings and nuances. So Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. Just like I'm sitting here to give the class on this verse today. And no doubt many of you could have also been sitting and giving the class and discussing the same verse. Every devotee most likely would have discussed it in a different way. Different points, different topics that arise from any word. Shivaya, Shiva, what is that? Take this one word. That auspicious, what is the meaning of auspiciousness? That there are so many meanings. Rupa Goswami describes, maybe this is what Prabhupada is giving. Uttama Shloka Parayanaha. Those who are devoted to the cause of the personality of Godhead. He has, Prabhupada has translated that Rupa Goswami's definition of auspiciousness, that which is beneficial for all living beings. That is the best meaning of auspiciousness. There are different words. Shiva, Shubha, Mangala, Kalyan, different words with different nuances of meaning. So this word that comes in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shubhada, that which is bhakti, gives auspiciousness. And then what is auspiciousness means that which is beneficial for all. So it's sort of like this. Shivaya lokasya, with that which is for the welfare of all living beings. So just like that, you can just discuss that one word. And you can speak on and on. There are so many different points to be understood. But the subject matter that is in itself all auspicious because it is in connection, it is Uttama Shloka Bhartaya, this term, Uttama Shloka, that comes up in Bhagavatam again and again. Uttama Shloka Charitam Sarva Loka Sukharaham. That's described that by hearing the character, hearing about the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, who is described by the topmost verses, Sarva Loka Sukharaham, can make everyone within the universe very happy. So, Uttama Shloka Vartaya, that's described in the second canto, that with every rising and setting of the sun, the people's lives, they are diminishing. It's going away, it's being destroyed. Except for those who discuss Uttama Shloka Vartaya, topics of Uttama Shloka. So, this is what we should discuss. This is the topic. This is the topic. This is the proper topic for discussion. And we may discuss in different ways what is the meaning of auspiciousness means in connection with Krishna. Any word we can take. We have to see how it comes in relationship with Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing that. He was a Sanskrit teacher in his youth. Then when he went to Gaya for performing the ceremonies for his deceased father, in the meantime, he got initiation by Ishvara Puri and came back as a God-intoxicated person. Although previously he'd been covering that over, covering his feelings for Krishna over. So when he came back again, he came to school and he taught everything, every word in relation to Krishna. Because he couldn't talk of anything but Krishna. So he went on the whole morning talking, and then he just looked at his class, and they all looked bewildered. They said, "Did you understand anything?" He said, "No." They said, "Well, just take it from me. Everything is meant for understanding Krishna. That's all. Every word is meant for understanding Krishna. Whether you understand or..." Same thing, Madhvacharya. The pandits, they used to challenge each other. So he was saying that the Mayavadis, they want to interpret Vishnu Sahasranama in another way. So he said, "I can explain every name of Vishnu 1,000 ways." 1,000 names, 1,000 ways. They didn't believe. So okay, so he did one name. And you just left Sadhus and said, "All right, we believe you. We couldn't follow your explanations. They're so deep, but we accept." So I'm empowered by Krishna to explain every word that can be explained in relationship with Krishna. So here that point, the question is there, and the point comes out that Parikshit Maharaj, even though he was serving Krishna as the king, but he showed also the path for everybody that ultimately, whatever we may be doing in this world, we have to leave it. Immediately he started, if you find Shukadeva Goswami, he speaks at the start, his speaking begins at the beginning of the second canto. Then immediately he started lambasting the position of people in material life, how they're wasting their life. Apashyatam atmatadvam griheshu grihamedhinam, how they are simply wasting their lives. They don't see what is, those who are simply tied up in household life, they don't see what is atmatatma, what is the reality of the soul. They're simply wasting their time. Nidra, what is that? Nidra hriyate bhaktam. Diva, no, I'm getting mixed up. Anyway, you say that in the daytime they're simply working, and at night they're working for kutumba bharane, for maintaining their families in the day, and at night they're either sleeping or having sex with children. This way they're wasting their time. So he immediately points out this, that the king, he not become disturbed that, "Oh, I have my kingdom," because you never know. It's not recorded here, but it's at least nowadays, if someone, even if they had 7 days to live, if the people would, even if they left like this and they had so much money, all the lawyers, the different relatives would come with the lawyers and say, "Well, how much for me and how much for you? And you can't leave like this. We have so many things to sort out. And, you know, we don't mind if you leave, but, you know, at least at least sign over the property to me before you go. So how can you leave us? You see, you know, I'll become a widow, and then, you know, I won't get looked after properly, and why don't you go and fast to death after another 70 years? And we can imagine this kind of thing happens all the time. So Shukadeva Goswami was telling him, "Don't be attached. Now you've taken sannyas, practically, not officially. Don't go back. Don't become a murha, attached to all that. Now, already, all right, we know you're a devotee from birth. Now you've come. Don't go back. Don't be attached to them. Don't think you made the wrong decision. Don't sit in front of me thinking of your wife and family." That's also possible. That one may be performing the activities of bhakti, but he's not thinking of Krishna. Don't be in an illusion that, "Oh, I left something behind." Sometimes we see there's one story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The one man came to join the mat. He said, "I want to join." So anyone who came to join, first job they'd be given, washing all the pots, cleaning the floors. "Let's see how sincere you are. Never mind your MSc or whatever." So you're sent to wash the pots, and the devotees just say, oh, he washes the pots very nicely, scrubbed so hard, so enthusiastic, does such a good job. Very sincere. Okay. So he was going on like this for 1 week. Then after 1 week, his wife came and took him back home. He said, oh, he was so sincere. Bhakti Sansaraswati said, no, he had an argument with his wife. And he came here, and he was in a very angry mood, so he was he was scrubbing the pots very nicely. And he was just waiting for his wife to come and apologize, and then he would go. And he was threatening that if you don't submit to me, then I'm going to be a sannyasi. But actually, he was ready to go back at any time. So Shukadeva was saying that now you've come. You have to die now. So now you have to give up that attachment, be fully attached to Krishna. So you can understand that even great devotee, some tinge of material attachment may be there. Or others were also listening. So they may have been rishis, but attached to this material world in various ways. Therefore, Shukdev Goswami was speaking like this. So like this, this bhakti can develop. Here it's described development. Bhakti can develop. He can develop when there is not attachment to this material world, and the sign of bhakti developing is decreased attachment for this material world. Bhakti parishana bhava virakti ranyatra. That is the test. That one's attachment for Krishna is increasing, and detachment from everything else, that's also increasing. Or, to put it on the other way, attachment for everything else is decreasing. So these subject matters from Srimad Bhagavatam we should discuss in a reverential mood, praying to Krishna for realization and praying to Krishna and the great devotees to follow in their footsteps. They've given a great example for us. Shukadeva Goswami, he left, Parikshit Maharaj, he left home with his family and everything. But Shukadeva Goswami, he did a preempting of that whole situation. He didn't have wife and children to leave because he didn't want to get involved in that at all. So he left, both of them left home. Shukadeva as a young boy and Parikshit as a householder, a king. Shukadeva Goswami was a Paramahamsa, fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And he wanted to speak to his disciple Parikshit in such a way that he could also come to the fully to the same position. So this speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam, even though Parikshit had such responsibilities, still his ultimate responsibility at the end of life is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and become fully Krishna conscious, so that at the time of death, ante Narayana Smriti, he can think of Narayana. So Shukadeva Goswami is pointing out to him that now is the time you have to be fully detached. That may not be in everyone's stage, in every stage of life. One is ready for that or is practicing like that. When Parikshit was administering the kingdom, he was expected to do so in such a way that he was parashraya, he was shelter for others. He had a certain duty to do, which meant that he had to interact with the material world in various ways. But ultimately he had to understand that you can't remain in this position forever. You're giving shelter to others, but that's only on behalf of Krishna, and someone else will come and do it. But your ultimate duty is to fully take shelter of Krishna. So that he did, and set the example for us, that everyone has to plan their life in such a way that whatever duties, responsibilities, commitments, or attachments we have, ultimately we have to become absorbed in hearing about and remembering Krishna, which is possible if we hear in the parampara system of pure devotees who enlighten us about Krishna, so that at the time of death, being fully absorbed in Krishna, we can go to Krishna as Parikshit Maharaj did. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment or further elucidation about this?
When Parikshit Maharaj was ruling the country.
Do you have another mic? No. Alright, I'll have to repeat the question. That's a good system. It's done in many temples. They have a mic for the questioner also. On a long lead, or what do they call that? Cordless mic. So everyone can hear the question. You can all throw in a few rupees and get one.
When Parikshit Maharaj was ruling his kingdom, there was no Kali there. Kali was not active.
Kali was not there when Parikshit Maharaj was ruling. He wasn't there, he was waiting in the shadows.
For Parikshit Maharaj to lead.
Yeah.
But now Kali is very much active.
Yeah.
And the effect of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Kali is very active, and the effect of Srimad Bhagavatam.
But when we are in the Kali Yuga, and with Kali so active, and is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam we read, will it be easily understandable?
Will it be easily understandable? Well, that's Krishna's mercy. He makes himself understandable. Kalo nashta drisham. In Kali Yuga, we're all our vision. Apashyatam atma tatvam. Our vision is spoiled. But kalo nashta drisham isha purana. This purana. Nashta drisham isha purana kadhunodita. This purana is like the sun for removing the darkness. Kali Yoga. So yes, even though we are manda sumanda mateo manda bhagya viuputruta, even though we are fools, rascals, stupid, unlucky, wicked, etc., by the grace of Krishna, we can take benefit from Srimad Bhagavatam and become enlightened. That is Krishna's achintya shakti. Krishna can float stones on the sea. But more, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered the best of all avatars. Because floating stones on the sea or lifting Govardhan Hill, that's not such a great feat. But delivering Jagai and Madhai, that is a much greater feat. What to speak of even by investing his power in someone else. By investing his power in Prabhupada, he has delivered millions of worse than Jagai and Madhans. So this is therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the avatar esa, is the essence of all incarnations. Of all Krishna's qualities, his mercy upon his devotees is the most important, and that he has fully manifested in his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So, are we qualified to understand Srimad Bhagavatam? No. But just a little faith, if one has a little faith that Nityananda Prabhu accepts, all right, that's enough. That is your qualification. Ado Shadha Tate Sadhu Sangha. Then one can, if one has a little faith, he becomes accepted in the society of devotees, and then he can take up the activities of bhakti. That is the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu.
I have a question.
Please.
Regarding this Vishnu Sahasranama, it is informed that.
Oh, there you are,
you see. I think my first answer to me, I am coming from Malaysia, actually, part of Bangalore. Regarding this Vishnu Sahasranama, I am informed that this part tells during the last day of this journey, when Pandava goes to him for his advice, he describes Lord Krishna or Vishnu in 1,000 different forms. And it is told also that the particular stanza, Manumadi Gadi Shangi Shanti Chakri Chandati Sriman Narayana Vishnu Vasudeva Vrakshat. That is, when you go for the works or outside, many people who are good, all these fine people are all here, then you tell this three times before you go out of the house. It protects you from evil forces. In fact, you are protected from any accident that is likely to take place. And this is what I have experienced for the last 30 years. And some of them, I got a feeling that this will protect you from your evil forces. Any point from your side, I would like to hear your thoughts.
Yes, please chant the names of Krishna. You can chant Vishnu Sahasranama or Ram Naam. Said that 1,000 names is equal to one Ram Naam. Especially Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is recommended. We can chant Vishnu Sahasranama. Previously, so many people used to chant. And then they put on the Lakshmi Subramania cassette instead. And now they put on some disco cassette instead, or turn on the TV. So unfortunately, people are losing the culture. So it's very nice if you chant these things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, this is a very big discussion, but he's given the essence of all the teachings of all these sampradayas, of the means Vaishnava sampradayas. And we find that's very practical also, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is not different from Vishnu Sahasranama. So please chant Vishnu Sahasranama. That's very nice. Krishna will certainly protect us from the greatest accident, which is taking birth again. That's the worst. That's the worst thing that can happen. So we should chant the names of Krishna and develop our attachment for him so that we can go to him. Getting birth in this material world, it's a bad accident. I had to tell someone I had a bad accident. What was that? I got born. Someone says, oh, it's my daughter's birthday today, 5 years old. Oh, so unlucky. Anyway, never mind. Chant Hare Krishna. Then you won't have to get born again. Oh, you see the astrologers and say, well, this is very auspicious and this is inauspicious. But it's, when we say auspicious, it means a slightly degree better of inauspiciousness. Because material life in itself is inauspicious. We say marriage, kalyana. But unless there's Krishna bhakti, it's simply the cause of bhava bandham, which is not kalyana. Akalyan. Nuksham. It's Hindi. How do you say in Sanskrit? So, that's why you see, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving the same knowledge but with a completely transcendental perspective. That generally people, they worship God for some material benefit. That, dear God, bless us, that my children will pass their exams and get a job in America and cure my backache and so many things. But ultimately a devotee, he understands that if we're going to get born in this material world, then we have to suffer. So the real benefit, this is the primary stage actually, the real benefit is to get free from birth and death. And then even beyond that, even better than mukti, practically those who are tied up in material life, they can hardly even imagine what is the meaning of mukti. They don't aspire for it. But from the point of view of a pure devotee, even this mukti, kaivalya narakayate tridasha pur akasha pushpayate. He says that going to the heavenly planets is like, it's meaningless. And as far as kaivalya mukti, or merging into the Brahma jyoti, it is just like going to hell. Because there's no chance for Krishna seva. So Krishna bhakti, that is actually the real amritam, the real nectar, for which we are in the depth of our heart. Everyone has their loving relationship with Krishna. But having forgotten that, we are simply thinking how to live in this material world. But the real message of Bhagavad Bhakti is how to develop our love for Krishna. So Bhagavatam is especially meant to teach us how to develop our love for Krishna. Therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is the final word in all the Vedic literatures. Even Vishnu Bhakti is taught in various Puranas and in the Mahabharata. But here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, it's stated that Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. All forms, even Vishnu Bhakti described as a means for bodily, mental, or social emolument, even that is rejected here. Even the idea that we shall worship Vishnu and take and get bhakti, that is rejected. Diyamanam avignanti vinamat sevananjana, that Kapila Dev says. Sarupya sarshti samipya kaivalapyam apyuta diyamanam avignanti vinamat sevananjana. This mukti, sarupya mukti, sarshti mukti, salokya mukti, kaivalya mukti, which are the sarupya? Samipya. So even that, the devotees, they don't accept, they don't want mukti. Without the opportunity to serve Krishna, they don't want it. So Krishna seva, that is this bhakti, that is the actual nectar of life, that is beyond even the idea of worshipping Vishnu for any material benefit.
Prabhupada said in one speech, like Prabhupada said in one of his lectures, that if you were all Vaishnavas in the Vaikuntha Loka, then you would have come down here Now I want you to go back to Goloka Vrindavan.
Prabhupada didn't say this once, he said it many times. Ayi nanda tanaja kinkaram patitam mam vishamay bhagam dhato kripaya tava pada pankaja sthita dhuli sandrishan vichinti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that I am Krishna, I am your eternal servant, but I have fallen into this frightful material world. Now please pick me up and count me among the atoms in the dust of your lotus feet. So that could be taken as a prayer for mukti, but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes even beyond that conception. Aslishava padaretam pinashtuma adashadam manahatam kurotuva yatha tatha va vidatha tulampato matpananathas tusayamanapuraha. Then Krishna, even if you're kind to me, that is very nice. But even if you're unkind to me, even if you kick me in your feet, you trample me, oh, that's very nice. Then you get the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. But even if, much worse, you don't show, if you hide yourself from me, you don't let me come near you, you don't let me see you, you kill me in that way, still, unconditionally, you are my Lord.